Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word in this message, we ask you to bless us to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. James chapter 1, verse 21. We love you, Jesus.
In the book titled, I Die Daily, which is available on Amazon or on the ministry website, safeguardyoursoul.com, we have a chapter in that book, I Die Daily, titled, quote, Them That Seduce You. Now, the Apostle John is speaking about the spirit of Antichrist,
which possess these false teachers. And that is who and what the Apostle John is speaking about in that letter.
And he speaks of them that seduce you. So we have people under the power of Satan, the great serpent and seducer himself, who are doing what? They're seducing you. They're luring you and baiting you into doing something that's against God. That's the context of them that seduce you. Did you know that verse was in the Bible, 1 John 2:26? Them that seduce you. Remember, we're warned to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Also, speaking of seduction, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Now the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, speaketh expressly or specifically that in the latter times, that's where we are now, friends, some shall depart from the faith. Now, why? Because they allowed them, or Satan and his agents, as human agents who pose as the representatives of Christ, but are actually false teachers. So they yielded to those seducing spirits, as he calls it here, to believe doctrines of devils. Notice, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart. That's where we get the word apostasy, depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit. First of all, how could you depart from the faith if you weren't first in the faith? Well, of course you couldn't. And so that dispels this lie of once saved, always saved, or that you can't fall away. Jesus himself invented the term fall away. Luke 8:13, where he said that there would be some who would believe for a while. That while could be a week. That while could be a month, 10 years, 20 years. And in time of temptation, fall away. So anybody teaching that you cannot fall away, paramount to or in direct opposition to enduring to the end, is a false teacher. We know that right off the bat. And you can cover it up or put sugar on it all you want. That's a false teacher. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Galatians 5:9. A little bit of doctrinal impurity ruins the whole body of belief of that person.
Anyone who is not teaching that you have to endure to the end to be saved into eternal glory is 100% an absolute false teacher, a wolf in sheep's clothing, because that's exactly what Jesus taught and his apostles, Matthew 10:22, Matthew 24:13, etc. And if you're sitting under somebody who is teaching you that you cannot depart from the faith, you can know this by this scripture, that they're under the influence and control of a seducing spirit. And we know that because they're peddling a doctrine of devils. And if there's any doctrine of devils at all, specifically, it would be the first lie Satan, the devil, told to mankind. And what was that lie? It was eternal security. Nobody can refute that because it cannot be refuted. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4, God told the man and the woman in the garden who were living in pristine holiness. He said that they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they did, they would surely die or be separated from him. Now, what was he doing? Was he trying to deprive them of something that would have given them great joy? No, just the opposite, actually. He was trying to protect them. We can only be protected as we are abiding faithfully and obedient in Christ. Notice Psalm 17, verse 4, concerning the works of men, David writes, By the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. See, when we allow ourselves to be seduced
seduced into believing false doctrines such as once saved, always saved. We are removed from the path of righteousness, and we are now on the path of the destroyer. I have kept me, by the word of the Lord, he says, I have kept me, I've been kept safe from the paths of the destroyer. And one of those paths, the first one he introduced to mankind, which is absolutely prevalent in our day among many who pretend to be representing Christ as they purposely misrepresent him, they're putting people on the paths of the destroyer. They're going to be destroyed. They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why? Because here it is. They're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. When you believe that eternal security doctrine of devils from hell, Genesis 2:17 and 3:4, it's going to rob the fear of God out of you just like it did with Adam and Eve, and you're going to succumb to temptation. See, this is being operated by them that seduce you, quote unquote, 1 John 2:26, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They can't even be convicted any longer. They always tout how we believe in the eternal security of the believer. They can't even be convicted by the word of God anymore. Their hearts have been so hardened, and God has turned them over to strong delusion so that they would believe a lie and be deceived and ultimately damned. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-13. So we're talking about them that seduce you. Notice in Matthew 27:42, he saved others, they said, as Jesus was dying on the cross for our sins. Himself, they mocked, he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Wow, such hardened, insolent hearts that they would dare cry these things out to the very Son of God. Come down from the cross is what they called him to do. Quote unquote, Matthew 27:42. And even today, there's no new thing under the sun. Come down from the cross is the cry of the enemy of all souls. Not with Jesus, because he already completed his perfect redemption, having declared it is finished before he gave up the ghost. So here we see in they're crying out, come down from the cross to Jesus, that Satan inspired godless men to tempt Christ to not complete his work of redemption. Remember, this is just seconds or moments before he said, it is finished. So Satan apparently tried to derail Jesus from accomplishing his perfect death, burial, and resurrection. Because what if he'd have stopped and got off the cross, which he had all power to do, we read. In fact, in the previous chapter, it's recorded, Matthew 26:53, Jesus said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Don't you think Jesus could have at any time rescued himself from dying for the sins of the world? Certainly he could have. So they're crying out to Jesus to prove he's the Son of God, the King of Israel, by what? Coming down from the cross. Come down from that cross. And today, in the same way, godless pulpiteers, or better known as them that seduce you, false ministers in today's church world, say nothing of the daily cross Christ commanded to be taken up by any person who would follow him. Luke 9:23-24. And think about that. Many have hearkened to them that seduce you, and they no longer deny themselves. Take up their cross and follow Jesus. Some of you listening may have never begun to realize the crucified life Jesus calls you to. So I want to exhort you as your brother in Christ to go to Romans 6 and feast on the truth of the crucified life as laid out so prominently in Romans 6, although it's in every book of the Bible. And that's why we've put together the book I Die Daily and also Raised Up. We also have another cross book called 31 Cross Prayers, where there's biblical prayer for each day, each morning of the month. 31 Cross Prayers. Feel free to look at them. And by the way, books are only a medium of exchange, just like this podcast is that you're listening to, just like a radio program, which we've done also, would be, just like a pulpit. It's a medium of communications. We're not making money on the books. We spend more money, much more, each month giving away the books free to those that sit in jail and to other believers, members of the body of Christ who need to be edified and want these books. And that's what your love offerings go in part to fund. And that's a blessing. So just in case somebody's thinking that, well, they just selling a lot of books. No, if that makes you happy, no. It ought to make you happy that we would be selling a lot because they're full of the Word of God. They're all biblical. And that would fund even more books going into prisons to lost souls who sit in darkness waiting for someone to bring them the light. How shall they hear without a preacher? That's us, folks. A declarer, a person who would bellow out, who would be a herald for the truth. Amen. So notice, just as Satan tempted Jesus to come down from that cross, if he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and then and only then we will believe him. So in the same way Satan called Jesus to circumvent, to stop, to abort his mission to die on the cross, so he seeks the same for us, to stop us from denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily and following Jesus, because Satan knows that when Jesus died and then was buried, he was then raised again from the dead. And so he has to sit back. By the way, that was his ultimate defeat. And now his defeat in our lives, in the lives of those we minister to, comes at the hand of the crucified Savior who is raising up his crucified saints. Remember, the Bible tells us who the remnant body of Christ really is. They're taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. Isaiah 37:31. Satan fears that bearing fruit upward. And the way he wants to stop that is to cause you to cease denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus daily, because every day you're doing that, you're being raised up in the power of the risen Savior and wreaking havoc on the enemy, stealing souls from unto his kingdom. These preachers, these false preachers who don't preach the cross, they are satanic ministers, 2 Corinthians 11:12-15, and they're enemies of the cross, notice, of Christ, Philippians 3:18-19. And Paul warned us about them. Now, of this phenomenon, one disciple of Christ notes the following. Satan works both angles, he says. First, he tried to keep Jesus and us as his body from going to or staying on the cross. On the other hand, he puts us on the cross as per what he did through Judas, the high priest of Judaism, and Pilate, and the Romans. He continues, Satan is somewhat schizophrenic as to this, but 1 Corinthians 2:8 is making the point that had he, the main prince, and his underling princes, if they had known what they were doing, that is, defeating themselves as a house divided, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan's house is a house divided against itself and is therefore laid waste by his own forces, just as Jesus stated in Matthew 12. Peter himself reviled Jesus when Christ told him he would be going to the cross. Jesus attributed that work to Satan, unquote. Remember, as the writer here pointed out, when Peter, being used of Satan, spoke, the Son of God turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Why did he tell him that? Well, because Peter was seeking to circumvent the crucifixion of Christ for which Jesus came. He came to die so that he could then be buried and raised again from the dead to save the world. So Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," Matthew 16:23-26. "Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Again, Matthew 16:23-26. So Jesus here speaks not only of the necessity of his own redeeming cross, but also of the daily cross to be taken up by each and every one of those who would follow him into eternal glory. This should forever underscore and cement in our understanding the absolute necessity of the daily cross. One preacher said this, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, and Romans 6:5, for if we be planted together in the likeness of his death, then we will be raised up, not only now, but for eternity. This indicates, he says, a past event with continuing effects. So it could literally say, I have been and continue to be crucified with Christ, and for if we have been and continue to be planted together in the crucifixion with Christ, the crucified life, clearly he speaks of the daily death of the believer who's crucified with Christ, quote unquote, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Then he speaks of Ephesians 4:20-24, where it talks of a continual putting off or death to of the old man, as does 2 Corinthians 4:16, he notes. He says Martin Luther taught a daily spirit baptism and called it dying downward. These people who teach otherwise resist the daily cross, he says. This is the error of triumphalism. As we appropriate the finished work daily of Christ, we become more and more what we already are. We possess our possessions. Compare Colossians 3:3 with Colossians 3:5. Colossians 3:3 says what? Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then he says, mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And then he talks about how they had once lived in these sins, but you've got to be dead and buried with Christ. Again, Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:9 that they sentence, and we are to sentence ourselves to death. Notice, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. My friend, do you have the sentence of death in yourself? Have you resigned yourself to live a crucified life in honor of the Redeemer that initially saved you? If not, you're not overcoming sin and you will not be with him. You can't separate the two. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You can be sure that if you will die downward as Jesus instructed you, that God will raise you upward. Now, this is a long chapter. I'm going to refer you to read the whole text of this message that I'm doing right now a podcast on. It's titled, Them That Seduce You. It's from the book, I Die Daily. And in light of the return, soon return of Christ, we must give ourselves a readiness test. And here would be a biblical readiness test. Are we ready? Because remember, we read earlier, only the overcomers are going to reign on high with Christ. Here's one. Are you taking up the cross daily, as Jesus commanded to be done of those who would follow him? If not, you're not following him. You're not ready to meet him. Here's another one. Do you, my friend, daily deny yourself so that Christ can reign in your mortal body? 2 Corinthians 4:11-12. Here's another one. Again, as a readiness test. And as we read this, we're examining ourselves as to whether or not we're in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. If we're ready to meet Christ. Now, what kind of church is he coming for? We read it earlier at the end of Ephesians chapter 5. He's coming back. I'm not making this up, saints. This is all in the Bible, as many of you already know. He's coming back to present a glorious church to himself and the Father. He's sanctifying each true remnant disciple with a washing of water by the Word. That's what it says here in Ephesians 5:26-27. He's going to present this Word-washed church. If you're not in the Word, the action of the cleansing power of the Word of God is not working in you. And so you have dirt in you. The Word's not going to get into you until you get into it and stay into it. Force feed every morning. Delight yourself in the Lord by devotion. devouring his word every day. You cannot sustain a life with Christ without eating the bread of life, the bread of his word. And he's coming back for this word washed. That's a continual action of the word of God and the Holy Ghost in each of us and Christ. He's going to present a glorious church to himself and the Father that doesn't have, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Notice spot referring to the spot of sin on a otherwise perfectly white garment of the bride of Christ, which is spoken about in Revelation 19. The church he's coming for is what? It's not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So here's another question concerning the readiness test for meeting Christ. Are you following Christ in the exact way that he prescribed, which is written in the Word of God? Or are you deceiving yourself by following a false Jesus, a false Christ, which we're warned about in Scripture, of your own making? Have you erected the image of a false Christ? And I can tell you that you have if you're not living strictly according to what his word says. You cannot separate Jesus from his own words. Anybody who does that is self-deceived. Here's another one. Are we purifying our lives of everything that offends God? Remember 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Here's another question. Are you coming out from among them, from this sinful world system and those in it, and the apostate religious system? Another question. In obedience to the Lord, are you remaining clear of any and all wolves in sheep's clothing who preach or pen a crossless gospel? They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians 3:18 and 19. Here's one. Are you learning yet more and more to hate this sinful and rebellious world system, lest you become the enemy of God? James 4:4. Those that love this world, what? They're the enemy of Christ. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. That's spiritual adulterers and spiritual adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How about 1 John 2 verse 15? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here's another one. Are you daily in the Word so that the Word is getting into you and washing your heart and mind of all that is not according to the mind of Christ? Remember, Jesus said in John 15:3, now are you clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. So that's the same thing as what Paul is speaking of by the Holy Ghost when he talks about with the washing of water by the word, Ephesians 5:26, that the true bride of Christ is being cleansed by. And you can't be cleansed by the washing of water with the washing of water by the word unless you're in the word daily. Anybody who's not in the Word daily has already fallen away. God isn't the first love of their life. Jesus is just a hobby to them. They only want Jesus to save them from eternal damnation, but not from sin. They don't want the cross. They just want the crown. And they're going to find themselves hearing, if they don't repent, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25. Here's another one. On this list of questions concerning readiness or lack thereof to meet the Lord, whether we die today or he returns, are you keeping your lamp full by daily communing with Jesus? According to Jesus's parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, Matthew 25:1-13. If you're seeking the Lord and seeking his strength continually, then you're being filled up in your lamp, your vessel, that's you, with the virtue, the blessed presence of God inside of your spirit and life. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. That's what the wise virgins are doing. They're full of the virtue of the Lord, the oil of his presence, his Holy Ghost, his word, and they are being powered all the way to the end of that narrow path that leads to life into the eternal bridal chamber with Christ, the great bridegroom. Here's another question to test our readiness for the return of Christ. Are you abstaining from fleshly lust and and departing from all iniquity. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says the following, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." In other words, you're just passing through. This world is not your home. Never will be. Never was. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." That's 1 Peter 2:11. I want you to memorize that verse. Here's another question. Are you overcoming the wiles of the devil who seeks to seduce you from what God's called you to, and that's self-denial or the crucified life? Remember, the name of this message comes straight out of 1 John 2:26. Them that seduce you. Anybody not preaching the crucified life, which is probably 99% of all preachers today, is misleading you. You can't sustain a life with Christ and overcome sin, the sin that he initially washed you clean from when he initially saved you, without the daily cross. God's solution to sin is the daily cross, the crucified life. Are you watching and praying so as to be blessed to take up your cross daily and not be seduced from essential obedience and following Christ? Remember Matthew 26, verse 41. "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation," that is the temptation to sin, "for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." How about Luke 12, 40? "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not." Two more. Are you watching and praying so as to escape all sin and remain ever ready for Christ's soon appearing? Notice what we read in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door," or my doors. That's Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. How about Luke 21, 34 through 36, where Jesus warns us concerning his return? After he speaks about when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, or your redemption draws nigh. Then he says in Luke 21, 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or weighed down with surfeiting," that's overindulgence, "and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares," or when you least expect it, that is his return. "For as a snare or a trap shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." One more question, a rhetorical question. Are you, my friend, calling others to come to the fountain of living waters, that's Christ, from which all life flows, all eternal life, and in which all blessings await them? This is Revelation 22:17. Notice how the true bride of Christ, as opposed to the many who claim to know him, are identified. Notice this, "And the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "and the bride." Are you part of the bride of Christ, my friend? Let's see. "Say," notice the Holy Spirit and the bride say, "Come." They're calling out to the lost and to the backslidden. "Come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." In this message, as we close, and we're going to pray together, we're heeding the warning of 1 John 2:26 about them that seduce you. And to summate this message, we could say this. Listen, according to the whole counsel of God's word, anybody who's not teaching you on a regular basis that you must be crucified with Christ is seducing you away from Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, please deeply quicken in me your holy fear. Unite my heart to fear thy name, dear Lord. From this instant forward, I look fervently for your soon return. Heavenly Father, I beg you to unite my heart to fear thy name and make ultra sensitive my conscience to be so easily convicted by you, O Lord, upon the slightest thought that varies from your holy will. Into your hands, here and now, I submit my spirit, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.